I invite you to remain standing for the reading of this morning's gospel that comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, Zacchaeus could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And let us pray. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, and the one who indeed calls us by name. Amen. This passage seems appropriate on an All Saints Sunday, as well as we continue in our series of a disciple's path and talk about the way of service this morning. Zacchaeus is one of our own. He's one of us. He's one of those wonderful saints of days long gone by who's got a story to tell. We even sing his song during vacation Bible school. It's hard not to say a wee little man was he. So it was hard not to sing during the reading of the gospel this morning. But he's one of us. Everybody knew Zacchaeus in Jericho. Jericho was just on the other side of the Jordan River. It was the spot where everybody who was avoiding Samaria would cross into these Gentile lands known as the Ten Towns, the Decapolis, and they would swing around Samaria, and then they would get to Jericho. And Jericho's 1,200 feet below sea level, and thus would begin the road to Jerusalem. You would go through Jericho, and then it's all uphill until you get to Jerusalem, until you get to the holy city and to Mount Zion. And so the word is out. Jesus is coming into Jericho, and the crowd is gathering. And the crowd, no doubt, is intrigued by seeing Zacchaeus, that traitor, standing there with them. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector, which means that he has agreed to raise the tax money for the Roman Empire. The Romans franchised out their tax collecting to anyone who could get them the money, and then anything else they collected, once they achieved what Rome wanted, they could keep for themselves. Any Jew who found themselves as a tax collector was considered a traitor by their own people. They were sinners. They were outside of the community of the family of God because of their complicity with their oppressors. Zacchaeus had no friends in that town, or at least very few. There were those that worked for him who probably you would call them friends, but he also paid them. So maybe they were paid friends. And so surprisingly not, as he got by the road, taller people tended to stand in front of him. He moved to another spot of the road, and sure enough, that spot where he could see the road, it just magically disappeared. Somebody else happened to stand in front of him. You know how that happens. Crowds move. And the crowd wanted to get back in whatever way it could, a little bit of justice, they felt, from this very man who has been taking their money and giving it to the Roman Empire. And so Zacchaeus is creative. We know that from the song. He sees a sycamore tree. The tree is high enough that he can get above the crowd if he climbs it. So he's willing to set aside his dignity, as it were, to climb up the tree and to get a good view of Jesus. No doubt to the joy of the crowd around him. Oh, look who's up in the tree, just like a little child. It's Zacchaeus. Isn't that sweet? No doubt there were some thoughts that maybe we should rustle that tree a little bit, but they didn't. They just enjoyed the spectacle of this chief tax collector, this one that everybody knew was a sinner. Let's be honest. There was no question. Everybody knew they were at least better than him. Maybe they weren't better than anybody else, but boy, they were better than him. Watching him up on that tree. Isn't that nice? But then it changes. Because again, he's one of us. He's part of our family of the people of God. Jesus walks along that road and he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. Brad Caljanian, the senior pastor at Cornerstone, who was here last weekend for the REACH Summit, talked about this passage and he said, and I forget who said the quote, it's a quote that I've heard before, that the enemy or Satan always calls us by our brokenness, calls us by our sin, but Jesus always calls us by our name, not our brokenness. Jesus looks up and sees Zacchaeus there, and he calls him Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, he knows him. Get out of that tree. Come on down. I'm going to go to your house. We're having lunch together. Now, you have to imagine the drop jaw moment that that was for everyone else around them. Because everybody knows they're at least better than Zacchaeus. So if Jesus is going to go to anybody's home, don't you think he'd go to somebody decent? Not the chief tax collector? Weren't there plenty of Spartan families that he could have gone to? Or Michigan families, right? Or even Notre Dame families? He chooses Zacchaeus, the one that nobody would say yes to. If he invited you to dinner, you'd immediately have plans. No matter what it was, you would be busy. You would never go. And yet here is Jesus inviting himself into Zacchaeus' home. Because note, this is an opportunity for an act of service. And so Zacchaeus comes down the tree. He is thrilled. The crowd around him is absolutely not thrilled. The murmuring is going on. Maybe what we heard is true. Maybe Jesus has been out in the desert a little bit too long. Maybe he's lost his marbles. Why would he do this? Why would he go to the chief sinner of this community who everybody knows is doing the devil's work by working with the Romans? Why would he invite himself to his house for lunch? And Zacchaeus is overjoyed. He is quick to welcome Jesus into his home. He's quick to welcome him into his hospitality. And he makes this amazing proclamation. He says, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. The requirement in the law was twice as much. So he is doubling that requirement if he's defrauded anyone. But notice what's happening. Jesus' invitation to Zacchaeus, by calling him by name, he is inviting Zacchaeus into a life of service, to which Zacchaeus says yes. And that service is giving back what he has taken from this community. Half of my possessions I will give to the poor. He's acknowledging he has more than he needs. Maybe he's been hoarding. Maybe he's been worried about a rainy day. Whatever it is, because of this invitation, he understands that one of the ways that he can serve the Lord is by giving this extra that he has gathered out to those who need it. Notice he is re-engaging into the community. He is seeing the people around him not as people to collect taxes from, but as people who need help. And that's all because of Jesus simply calling him by his name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we're going to have lunch together. And then he makes that bold claim too. He says, if I've defrauded anyone, and I would imagine the crowd says, any tax you collected was defrauding. But if I've defrauded anyone, which means if I took more than was required, I will not just do what the law requires, which is twice as much. I will go even more. I will double it to four times as much. He's serious. This is a man who, because Jesus called him by name, his heart is changing. He is awakened in a way that he has not been awake before. He is recognizing his place in the community, regardless of how the community receives him. This is what he will do. This is the power of Jesus calling our name. This is the power of the way of service within our lives. It impacts us. And for Zacchaeus as a tax collector, that way of serving meant giving back what he had taken. And then Jesus makes this bold claim. He says, today salvation has come to this house. And then he says this, because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. Jesus, in his act of service, is reconciling Zacchaeus back into the community. He is reminding the community that Zacchaeus is one of them. And they need to treat him as one of them. Not one apart from them, not one away from them, but one with them. Notice here, this act of service is now the gift of presence, the gift of community. This is an example in Luke 19 of a way in which Zacchaeus becomes part of the story of the saints. We read their names earlier in worship who are part of St. Paul's, but Zacchaeus would have been one of those names read too. His life was transformed by the power of following Jesus, and by following Jesus, we serve others as Jesus has served. There was a question that was raised at the REACH Summit last week, and it's a question that I've heard in other conferences around the impact of churches within a local community. And the question is this: if your church were to vanish tomorrow, would anyone in the community know that you were gone? Not your church members. Hopefully they might notice the church is gone. But would anybody else in the community be aware that you were no longer there? It's a very clear question around what it means to serve, to be a missional church, to be serving in the community, to be reaching out to those in need. And one of the things that I appreciate when I hear that question asked is that I can say without a doubt, yes, the community around us would recognize the absence of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. And it's for this reason, you have taken seriously that serving is one of the key and significant ways that we live out our discipleship as Christians. It's one of the ways in which we follow Jesus on the disciples' path is through serving, serving God through serving others. And I'm including what happens in this congregation as we serve in the church, as well as we serve outside of the church and in the community and through the schools and the nonprofits and all the ways in which you are engaged in part of this community. This church is not absent from the community. We are in the thick of it and in the midst of it because that is where the need is and that is where the people are who Jesus is inviting us to serve. Children who are at risk. Young single mothers looking for a way to begin their life journey. Families in crisis. People who are alone. Children in need of assistance in education. As the season change, those who are in need of winter coats. Serving of meals. Visiting the least, the last, and the lost. You take these words seriously. And I know that because you live them. You make an effort through the Neighborhood House, through Assistance League, through Baldwin, through CAS, through Rotary, through Kiwanis, through so many groups and nonprofits and in social groups and agencies within our community. You make that difference. You volunteer in the hospitals. You volunteer in the schools. You know your neighbors. Jesus invites us to love God by loving others. That's a core definition of a Methodist from John Wesley. That is the core thing, that we love God completely and we love our neighbors as ourselves. We also recognize that's core of our Methodist DNA is that we are to serve as Jesus serves, which means we are not apart from the community. We are in the midst of the community. The very first building that the Methodists owned in London as the movement began was not a sanctuary. It was not a church. It was called the Foundry. It was basically a warehouse. It was a large space and room for widows and orphans and those who were homeless and those who were hungry to come and to be cared for. Not because they were Methodists, not because the Methodists knew who they were, but because they were in need. Because John and Charles Wesley and those first Methodists understood that serving God is by serving others, by meeting the needs of others. And as those who had lived in the rural areas of England had moved into the city at a time when there was no safety net, there was no welfare, there was nothing to support a family if the breadwinner got ill or died. But the Methodists were there. They were there visiting those who were in jails and in prison. And they were there on the streets helping those who were homeless, helpless, and hopeless. That's the core of our DNA. So as we come to this week in our study of a disciple's path, we talked about prayers, presence, gifts. We come to service. We come to something that is just simply part of our expression of the Christian faith historically. It's been there since the beginning. It guides us. It challenges us. It calls us. It beckons us to see how our lives, our time, our talent, our treasure, and our very presence may be used of God to extend God's grace, God's peace, God's hope, God's reconciliation. And we do that. We do that in the church as we care for one another, as we engage as greeters and ushers, as we help with counting the offering, as we serve in so many capacities in our music ministries, serving on our committees, our teams, and our task forces. But we serve as well as we engage in the community around us. In some ways, what we do at church is merely practice for how we live out our faith in the world around us. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the way that you take this service seriously. Now, granted, we have fun with that service because we know that it's a way that we can give back to God. And so our team that went to Redbird is celebrating incredible ministry in Beverly, Kentucky. Part of their gift of service was helping others have homes that were safer and prepared for the winter. Our youth were in South Dakota at a Native American reservation serving the Native American community out of their faith. Because that's what Jesus would call us to do. Our children for Vacation Bible School serve by bringing school supplies as we begin the year. Some of us have no trouble gathering all those supplies. Sometimes we have to find them and figure out where they've been left, but we gather them. Other kids, they don't have that privilege. They don't know where the pencil, papers, notebooks, binders, backpacks are going to come from. Part of the way that our children serve at Vacation Bible School is that they come and they bring those needed items so that everybody can begin the school year prepared. Because we know that when kids aren't prepared and when they're hungry, it's really hard to learn. It's hard for them to experience that blessing of knowledge that God has given them when they don't have food, they don't have their supplies, or they don't have a safe place to call home. We take that for granted. They do not. Because we believe in the way of service, we engage in responding, working through a neighborhood house, working through Blessings in a Backpack to provide these opportunities in Assistance League, to care for these children in our community, our own neighbors who are in need. We do that because Jesus does this. And he does it through us. These saints whose names we read, Reverend May and I read this morning, are examples. They have guided us, these church members, and inspired us into what it means to serve in our families, to serve in our neighborhoods where we work, to serve in our community, to serve in our church. They recognize that power of presence. They recognize the power of that love and what it means when we care for the people around us to help them rise to their abilities and that they can care for those around them. It's something that just is paid forward over and over and over again. Jesus understood this and he modeled it so that his disciples would live it, and they did. And as the generations have passed, now we carry that same opportunity, that same gift to be a blessing to those around us. St. Paul's United Methodist Church, you are servants first and foremost. We do so because it's how Jesus has showed us how to live. It's our opportunity to be the good news, to be there where the need is, to not be absent or apathetic, but to be engaged, compassionate, and courageous. It is exciting. It is a blessing. It's a privilege. As one of your pastors, a senior pastor, to be engaged in these ministries with you. Because this gift of service, it encourages my faith, it encourages the faith of our clergy here. You encourage each other, and our children learn because of it. They discover the same joy that we've discovered, that serving is good for our souls, even as it is good for those around us. We also are blessed when we can give and serve and be the sign of Jesus to those around us. And so we're back to Zacchaeus. He was still short at the end of the story. He hadn't gotten any taller. Maybe in the guise of the story of the Grinch, since we're getting close to the Christmas season, maybe his heart grew bigger and bigger. But the most important thing was his spirit was transformed. He recognized that although his life had been a life of taking, Jesus was calling him to give. And with his eyes wide open because of that invitation, he recognized that he had much to give. He had much to offer. And so as Jesus left Jericho and began that journey up to Jerusalem, Jericho was not the same place as it was before he arrived. Zacchaeus' generosity would change his community. Those who were in need were no longer in need. Those who had been hungry were no longer hungry. And it was because of Jesus and his simple invitation to Zacchaeus. I'm having lunch at your house. And as a result, Zacchaeus and the city of Jericho was transformed. All because of an act of giving. A way of service. A life of following Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for these examples such as Zacchaeus in Scripture, but also those saints, Lord, of our church who have guided us in this journey of serving. Even now, God, we give thanks for those men and women who have offered us this way of life, who have served us, who have cared for us, who taught us this way of being your disciple so that we would be servants even now. Inspire us in this call to claim our heritage, to be your people, and to be bearers of your good news. For that we give you thanks and praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen.